Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Now let's get over the hump with the Hub right here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Make sure to smash that like button, share the stream as well. Helps out with the algorithm, helps the show grow, helps get some love to these student athletes and coaches and schools alike. So smash that like button on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. Part of the intro there, they say, or the big voiceover guy says that we're going to talk to local media members. Today is one of those days. Ryan Deal, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. He was out and about yesterday at some state golf tournaments, so we'll talk about that, I'm sure. A lot of track and field action from, of course, this last weekend with Thursday, Friday, and Saturday down south in Sioux Falls. And we're not going to quite put to bed the spring season, but get pretty close, too. We're kind of getting it tucked in, as it were. So looking forward to that discussion here with Ryan Deal towards the bottom of the hour. He's Matt McClure. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you doing today, man?
Doing well. Doing well. Happy that it's Wednesday. Happy that we're getting on towards the back half of the work week here. Little programming note, no Sports Hub on Friday because we're going to be gone golfing there, and people will be tuning in on Friday to hear Dan Patrick. So if you are tuning in to listen to the Hub on Friday, you will hear nothing but DP. So looking forward to that on Friday, and hopefully the weather continues to cooperate. They're calling for a 30% chance for showers on Friday, but knock on wood, they say mostly sunny. So we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out, and hopefully the weather can be like it was for all the golfers out there, because, I mean, further south, it was just gorgeous there too.
Yeah, it was really nice there yesterday. I think we're going to be okay looking at the weather. They're calling for, like you said, a 30% chance, but I think it's maybe going to be more so in the afternoon, so if we even get it. So I think we'll be all right there for a Friday.
Got ourselves a 9 o'clock tee-off time there. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun there. Out and about at Lee Park. Of course, Lee Park is the home for the Region 1A Coach of the Year. Talked about that yesterday. Head coach John Murdy of the Lee Park fame. Of course, head coach of the Aberdeen Roncalli Cavaliers. His squad yesterday pieced together kind of an up-and-down round a little bit, but all things considered, a third-place finish for them, and that, of course, would be their highest finish since 2007. So it's been a long time coming since Roncalli has been this competitive in golf. And, you know, I know they didn't get the medalist position, but all things considered, a two-day tournament, you finish in third place in Class A, you'll certainly take it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They battled all day there yesterday, and we said it when we were looking at the standings, there's going to be a lot of shakeup in when we looked at it. And Roncalli there, they just were kind of steady in that 3 and 4 spot. So big shout out to them and the team. And that's a good showing for Aberdeen Roncalli there at the state tournament. That's all you can ask for at the end of the day. You want to be able to play your best when it counts.
And we'll talk about Claire Crawford's performance. We'll talk about Olivia Braun's performance and Aberdeen Roncalli and Central alike. And of course, the Class B boys and girls, all of that is coming up today on the Sports Hub. He's Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's go ahead and toss this thing skyward for the jump on Fox Sports Aberdeen for this hump day installment of the show, 6-4-2025. And I tell you what, Matt, it happened again. It happened again. We talked about this, I think, last week, 2 weeks ago, something like that. Our guy, Paul Skeens of the Pittsburgh Pirates, had himself a day yesterday. He was dealing. Went 8 innings strong in the contest, surrendered 3 hits, 1 run, walked only 1, struck out 8, surrendered 1 solo home run. That was it. And, of course, they lost the game. Man alive. He had himself a really, really solid performance. All but 1 inning pitched. His record on the season now, 4-6. He's got an ERA of 2.05, and he's got a losing record. He just screams New York Yankee, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does. And I was looking at the ERA, 2.05. The guy will throw at least 6 innings, it seems like, in every start. He's thrown 8 innings against the Phillies and then against the Astros in losing efforts. So there's just no break that he can get right now, and the offense isn't doing him any favors. And yeah, his time in Pittsburgh is limited here, because in a couple of years, I don't know when it's going to be, it could be 5 years, 7 years, he's not going to be in the Pittsburgh Pirates uniform. The team stinks. They're 22-39. That's dead last, I would have to guess, in the National League Central. They're already 16.5 games back of your first-place Cubs, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They got a 38-22 record. So it hasn't been a great season, and I feel bad for Pirates fans, because every single year you think, hey, we're going to take a step forward. We got the best pitcher in baseball. We just got to piece it together. And every single year they fail. It's a shame, because you got the best pitcher in baseball. You can't win. It's unbelievable.
They're looking for answers, and they've got none. Well, speaking of my Cubs, one guy that we've been talking about now off the air for probably the last 2-3 weeks or so has become not quite a household name, but getting pretty close to, Pete Crow Armstrong. He did a pretty cool deal there yesterday. Fewest games to 15 home runs and 20 stolen bases in a season. He did it this year in 60 games, and there's a guy by the name of Bo Jackson, that's a part of that list, and Bobby Bonds. You're in pretty good company if you're PCA.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're in elite company, and what surprises me, yes, the 15 home runs, but the 51 RBIs and the 66 hits.
Yeah.
The guy's tough to get out, and I'll tell you what, as kind of a casual baseball fan, I follow my team, the Orioles. I'm not really following what the Cubs are doing. This guy is kind of making me say, hey, you got to maybe throw on some Cubs games, because this dude's absolutely electric right now. 51 RBIs, 281. Guy's putting up some crazy numbers, and he's an elite company. You mentioned Bo Jackson. That's pretty good, man.
You'll take that 10 times out of 10. By the way, just really quick to put to bed the Paul Skeens conversation. He has now only allowed 19 earned runs in 13 starts this year, and they've lost 8 of those games. Wow.
Sad.
Pretty sad. Pretty sad stuff. Well, new beginnings for one Ethan Russell. This came out yesterday on social media, on the X. Of course, the Aberdeen Christian grad, 2-time Northern State University, I'd call him a small forward, I suppose. He is officially out of the transfer portal. He is now committed to a new program. That would be southwest of us in Chadron, Nebraska. Chadron State is where he will head. And I broadcast a game there back in the day. I think it was 2019 back in the day. They got a pretty cool gym. I like it. And Ethan Russell's got a new home as he'll travel down south. And he will be, I believe it's an Eagle, if memory serves correctly, the Chadron State Eagles. Got to double check on that. But he's going to be wearing some cardinal. Or is it? It's kind of a reddish, cardinalish color. Not quite maroon, but nevertheless, Ethan Russell has a new home.
Yeah, I was looking on his ex there. Looks like he got offered May 6th and then committed here yesterday. So you know what else I like about, like, the when they posted on the X or social media, like the graphic, it's like they're so quick with the graphic as well. So shout out to Ethan Russell there, having an opportunity. And that's what we've talked about before. Sometimes you go to the transfer portal, you don't get that opportunity to go somewhere else and play. Happy for Ethan having that opportunity there, and let's see what he does there at Chadron State.
Yeah, the transfer portal is kind of a nebulous thing. Sometimes you go in there, sometimes you don't come out of there. And he has come out on the other end, so I want to wish him nothing but the very best of luck. Also, 2 days ago on social media, the folks at USF, the Cougars, of course Northern State's going to open up their season down south there at Bob Young Field, 94 days, but who's counting? They've got a new logo. They tweeted this out yesterday, and the USF Cougars, they've got a new logo. For those of you that can watch on the Facebook page there, the Facebook feed, you can check out the new logo right there. And I got to tell you, I'm a fan. I don't know if I should say that or not. I'm not trying to throw shade all the time at some of our rival schools and what have you at Northern State, but I got to tell you, the new USF logo, it looks pretty slick. I like it.
I like it. I did like the old logo, though, too, with the cougar on top of the USF.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at their logos. I like the 1979-1995 one, just the San Francisco 49ers one.
I saw that.
In purple. And then they changed it to the black, looks like a black cougar in 95, and then they went with the all-purple look, and I think it gives it a little bit more of a modern look than the last one. I do like the kind of the old-school logo, and that's just me being an old-school kind of guy, but I do enjoy the new logo, and yeah, my thing is, like, you got to keep that. If you have, like, if people in Sioux Falls have, like, the USF, the old logo stuff, you got to keep that now, because that's going to be good memorabilia, if you will.
Yeah, collector's item, a little collectible at some point in time, but yeah, I posted that story to our page yesterday, HubCityRadio.com, and on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page about their logo through the years. Mm-hmm. And I'm like you. I had never thought too much about what they have had the last handful of years. And their logo from the last couple of years kind of deviated a little bit from the one prior to that. But I didn't realize they basically had the San Francisco 49ers logo way back in the day. And I looked at that, I'm like, hey, that kind of looks like the 49ers logo. So kind of mixing it up there yesterday. And you can check out that story on our website, pubcityradio.com, and on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. And finally, this came out yesterday. The New York Knickerbockers, they are announcing a coaching change. Tom Thibodeau is gonzo. He has been shown the door there. And all I can think of, and you know me, not a big basketball fan, but I know this much.
Mm-hmm.
Two words. Ready for this? Doc Rivers.
His name's going to be in the conversation.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to go there or not. I know I've heard Jeff Van Gundy might be over there at some point in time, but I don't know. From a Bucks perspective, I'm a Bucks fan, very loose affiliation to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Uh-huh.
But I'm ready for the Bucks to kind of mix it up at the coaching position, because Doc Rivers hasn't won anything since the Obama administration. That's a long time ago.
08. He's living off the coattails of that 08 Celtics team.
It's like the Ozzie Guillen of the NBA.
That's a good comparison. It's like, hey, he won that one-off championship, probably because he had three or four Hall of Famers on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, Pierce Allen and Garnett. But, yeah, this one came as a shock to me. I didn't see this one coming. You reach the Eastern Conference Finals, and you're two wins away from going to the NBA Finals, and you fire the guy. Not the greatest look, I feel like, in New York. And my thing is, who's going to replace him? You going to go to the college ranks? I wouldn't be surprised. Jay Wright going to New York because all those Villanova guys.
Yeah.
That he coached. I think that could be pretty interesting if he went there.
It's kind of a dark horse name. I like where your head's at, though. That's not a bad call out. And you see a lot of these coaches that are in the NCAA that are kind of getting out of college coaching because of name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal, this, that, and the third. And they're like, you know what, maybe I can just hang out with my millions of dollars. But I'm guaranteeing at least some of them still have the itch to coach. And I think Jay Wright's a good one. That's not a bad call out.
Well, you got to get him out of the TV if he still wants to coach. Obviously, he does the CBS March Madness stuff and the college basketball. It's all going to depend on if he wants to coach. But I think that could be pretty interesting bringing him in since he coached all these guys and won a national championship with all these guys. I mean, they used to have four Villanova players. They traded DiVincenzo to the Timberwolves. So, yeah, that's a name to look out for, I think.
Keep an eye out for that one for sure. An outstanding round and performance from Olivia Braun from yesterday in the last 2 days, as a matter of fact, as well as the team, as the Aberdeen Central Golden Eagles are Class AA champions. We'll talk about that and all of the golf action from yesterday coming up next on the Sports Hub. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. And speaking of having some help, that's exactly what you got to have if you want to become a team that is a state tournament champion, and the Aberdeen Central Golden Eagles are just that. For the first time in program history, state champions. Congratulations to them. They led by 10 strokes after the first day of action there on Monday. Then they put together some separation from the field, defeated second place Mitchell by 18 strokes. They were 49 strokes ahead of third place Rapid City Stevens. Going into day two with a six-stroke lead, Olivia Braun put together a championship second day and route to that medalist position. She carded a 69 for the afternoon, the only player in the two-day tournament that scored in the 60s. She finished four under par, collectively 8 strokes ahead of second place Maddie Childs. And congratulations to Olivia Braun, freshman year, third place, sophomore year, runner-up. Third time is the proverbial charm. Congratulations to her as Aberdeen Central. They win that one running away yesterday.
Pretty much cruised the victory of Olivia Braun there in the individual side of things. And I sent you when we were going, we were looking at the results. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't believe the amount of birdies she had yesterday. I mean, 8 birdies on the round. Only the real one blemish she had was a double on 9. But a 34 on the front, a 35 on the back. I mean, just a flawless day of golf, especially when you have the lead. Some pressure on you, but not a lot from a standpoint of you had a huge lead. I mean, yeah, the pressure of, like, winning was definitely there. But when you're up by 7 and a player at her caliber, I feel like she just kind of cruised to victory. I mean, 8 birdies, just an incredible flawless day on the course there from Olivia Braun. And looking at the top 5, Emma Dore was very steady with a 77 day 1, a 77 on day 2, identical scores on the front and the back, 39 and 38 both rounds. And Wireball was also spectacular there on day 2, a 77, 3 shots better than her 80 on day 1.
Yeah, that's just it. You know, we talk about this with Coach Zimmerman, is how good Olivia Braun is, but it's not just a one-off. It's not a one-man show or a one-girl show in this case. They've got a collective team. You've got 3 players in the top 5 that are wearing blue and gold. And oh, by the way, don't forget, they're all back next year. And I get it. We are not 24 hours removed from a state championship, but it's like that old SNL bit back in the day. They're talking about the repeat. We're talking minimum 8-peat, Bob. I know it's way too early to talk about a repeat, but, you know, let this one kind of simmer and marinate a little bit. But you know what? Everyone's back next year. The expectation ought to be pretty high for next year, too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You got everybody coming back, and they've just played a lot of competitive golf over the years, and I think you really saw the maturity this year with the team. I mean, yes, you took steps each year, but you look at just the top 5, a Wireball, Dore. I mean, there was a couple times Dore was in the top spot, mm-hmm. You know. So I think the maturity, the mental aspect of the game with just, you know, not just Braun, but a collectively from Coach Zimmerman's crew, pretty dominant and special outing this week there at the state tournament for golf.
Yeah, Carly Withers also a part of that, and also you've got just a great slew of players. One name I was around the top tip of my tongue. I was going to toss her a shout out here as well, Carly Withers and Chloe Vikander. You know, yep. They're all a part of that mix there too. So it's not just one or two. It's a team in every sense of the fashion. Also yesterday on Dakota News Now, Mark Ovenden got a chance to catch up with Olivia Braun. She birdied the 18th hole, and she reflected on what that was like in that moment with her team mobbing her afterwards.
Yeah, birdie 18 was amazing. I mean, I just had pretty much 3 really good shots, and for my team to see it, and it was just awesome. And then when I made that putt and my team came and hugged me, it was really special.
How cool is that? You know, you make an incredible tee shot on the 18th hole. It was a par 3. And oh, by the way, your team is right there. That's your own, like, little personal cheering section. And if I'm being honest, just watching the replay from it from Dakota News Now, mm-hmm. It wasn't exactly the easiest putt. Well, I say that with a grain of salt. It'd be a tough putt for a guy like me, mm-hmm. But for her, it's just basically a little chippy, no problem, and she puts it right in, and then all of her teammates are right there to kind of give her a big hug afterwards. It's a really cool moment.
Yeah, it really is, and you could tell how bad she wanted it. We had her in studio last week or 2 weeks ago, and she's been knocking at the door, right, the last 2 years, and now to be able to kind of cruise your way to victory and knowing that when you're on the tee box on 18, knowing that you're going to win.
It's over.
It's over. I mean, that's got to be the easiest hole of golf she's ever played.
Cherry on top of the sundae.
Yeah.
Cherry on top of the sundae. Also, afterwards, head coach Kim Zimmerman got an opportunity to catch up with Marco.
And to see them, you know, celebrate in something like this has been really rewarding. So the thing I'm most happy about is the girls and getting rewarded for all their hard work.
You see, well, you actually hear it more accurately, the cheers in the background. That was on the video. And again, thanks to Mark Ovenden and Dakota News Now for the audio there. They gave him the bath afterwards. They all had their little cups of water, and they all gave him the bath afterwards.
Okay.
See, golf is a gentleman's game, but when you're playing with high school girls, all that stuff kind of goes out the door. And when you're state champs, enjoy the moment.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, you got to embrace the moment like that. He certainly did that. And, you know, he's been talking about the goal from the beginning of the season. They knew the expectation going into the year. Hey, we want to get back to this point where they were at yesterday and to complete the mission, if you will. Definitely pretty cool for Coach Zimmerman and that squad.
And you talk about having a nice, healthy lead there after day one. I think there is a lot of similarities between Claire Crawford and Olivia Braun's performance. Not necessarily here this year, but remember, Olivia Braun last year finished runner-up, and there were a lot of times last year where she was up by a couple of holes over Allison Myrink and the rest of the field. Down the stretch, things just didn't go her way. And obviously, yesterday for Aberdeen Roncalli, Claire Crawford, she had a tough front nine. She really competed pretty well on that back nine. Five holes to go. She was tied for first place, and she played all right. Her competition, Rylan Horning from St. Thomas More, was just a little bit better. She had an eagle. I think it was on the 14th hole, if memory serves correctly. That was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, as it were. But, you know, you've got a four-hole lead going into the final day. Much like Olivia Braun, last year she had a lead, couldn't quite hold it. And if I'm Claire Crawford, and I mean this, I'm not being, you know, poignant or anything like that, I would hit up Olivia Braun in the summertime and be like, hey, how do you find a way to close that door? How do you find a way to finish? Olivia Braun's strength this season is not how good she is off the tee or how good she is with her iron play or with her putter. All of those are good, don't get me wrong. It's right here. It's the 6 inches between your ears and how her mental game is so strong. That's how you win championships. It's up here in between your ears.
Yeah, and Crawford, just like you said, got off to a tough start there. Bogeyed, it looked like, the first seven holes, and then a double there on nine, and then you battled back, like you said. You know, it's kind of, you have to have a new nine mentality. She certainly did that, but the match really changed when Horning of St. Thomas More eagled that 14th hole, which is a par four, by the way, so you get a two on that hole, which is pretty impressive. And I mean, Horning 34 on the back, that's pretty special, and she birdied 18 as well. So Crawford battled, but I agree with you too, so maybe you can learn something from your compatriot there at Aberdeen Central and say, hey, what are some of the things you did during the off season to get you ready for this moment? And I'm sure Crawford will. I mean, you were right there. You shot a 38 on the front day one, and you shot a 45 on day two. I mean, that's a big disparity there. And just, I think it was, it kind of snowballed. And I always say, you got to get off to a fast start. Can you settle in? And I think for her, it maybe took a little bit to settle into to the moment.
Well, Braun had birdies on three of the first four holes. You talk about settling in. She had no problem with that. To your point, Claire Crawford kind of struggled there early. But all things considered, you're finishing state runner-up in Class A. That's a really, really good thing. And you're only going to get better playing some really, really high-intensity golf in the summertime, I would imagine. And all things considered, I think that's exactly the piece that Olivia Braun can kind of help out with you a little bit and say, hey, I was in your shoes last year as a sophomore because Braun was right there, just couldn't quite close. That was Claire Crawford this year. So I am putting maybe it's a little bit of undue pressure on Claire Crawford, but I think she's really, really good. Heck, she finished second in the state. That's an accomplishment in and of itself, but I think a great summertime of her just going out there, having some fun on the golf course. She should be back next year as well as that Roncalli team. They don't graduate anybody from next year. So this should be a really good senior year for a lot of these gals, for Aberdeen Roncalli, Grace Sire, Claire Crawford. You've got Mackenzie Wegehup. She's going to be just a freshman next year. So I think Roncalli is going to be really, really good. Central's going to be right there with them on the AA side of things. And all things considered, a great, great tournament for both of those squads.
No doubt about it. And sometimes you get to the, you know, you say, hey, they're tied after five holes. Somebody's got to take it in that moment. And I think Horning did that there. Like, it's like, hey, you got to be able to take it there. It's stride for stride. We got the last stretch of holes. Who's going to make that big shot and move forward? And Horning did. And Crawford, like, she was only two over on the back. That's pretty good. So, you know, and then Horning bogeyed 17, so did Crawford. So if you maybe could have added a little pressure, because on the last hole she was two back. If you make that one back, who knows what could have happened. But, yeah, sometimes you got to take it in a moment like that.
You needed two things to happen if you are the St. Tommy player, Rylan Horning. You need the leader in the clubhouse after day one to take a little bit of a step back.
Yep.
That happened. And you need to take a couple of steps forward, and she did. She was five shots back after her first day, and she finished three shots ahead of the rest of the field. That's an eight-stroke swing, and that eagle on 14 was just a thing of beauty. And that's, to your point, she took it. It wasn't just, hey, you know, Claire Crawford had a tough day, but she finished very, very strong.
Yep.
Horning took it. So you need two things to happen, and both of them did. And congratulations. You know, another Cavalier won, so I guess that's positive, right?
Yeah, no doubt. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, another Cavalier won. So would be very, very shocked to see that Roncalli squad take a step back next year. I think both Central and Roncalli are taking a step forward after an incredible year for both of those squads collectively. Roncalli finished in third as a team.
Yeah, it's just scary. He mentioned it. Both Central and Roncalli, they bring everybody back next year. So the expectation going into next year is going to be how do we get back to the, and that's all you can ask. You want to get back to the position you were at a year prior. And let's see if they can do it again. I mean, they're going to be right there when it's all said and done. It's just scary to think, hey, we had so much success this year. If we work hard, and we talked to Coach Zimmerman about this, it's just not going to be given to you. But if we work hard in the offseason, get ready, and have another chance at it, we'll see if they can take that stride forward next year.
And by the way, Claire Crawford yesterday in 84, I would kill for an 84.
That'd be the best round of my life.
Oh, man. Good stuff there from the junior from Aberdeen Roncalli High School. Ryan Deal, he'll be joining us coming up next right here on the Sports Hub. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Smash that like button on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. Share the stream, certainly helps out with the algorithm. He's Matt, I'm Tukes, and we're joined on the phone line by a friend of the program, none other than Ryan Deal. Ryan, thanks for taking some time this morning, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you guys? Thanks for having me again.
We're doing excellent.
Doing good.
Yeah, no complaints over here at all. And you were over there in Watertown yesterday. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit of golf. Yeah, matter of fact, let's start there on the golf side of things. We'll talk an abundance of high school track and field from Sioux Falls from this last weekend. But you were in Watertown watching some really highly competitive golf. Looked like a great day to be out and about. What'd you see from the local golfers out there?
You know, I think one of the big storylines was the Hanson boys. They've had just a nice run of some boys golfers these last few years, but they've finished runner-up the last couple of years. And last year they lost by one stroke to Washington Springs, and then they kind of flipped the script, so to say, this year. They ended up winning by one stroke against Wall, and it came down to the last hole. Kid from Hanson, Will Jarding, he parred the 18th hole, and that got to the Hanson the win by one stroke over Wall. So pretty cool for the Hanson boys to win that. And then kind of a golfer from your guys is a little bit closer to your neck of the woods, Bryn Rorick from Clark Willow Lake. She won her second straight Class B girls golf tournament, and it was interesting. She kind of had a home court advantage, so to say. You know, being from Clark Willow Lake, she's close to Watertown, and she told me that she actually lives like 7 minutes away from the course that they played at yesterday at Prairie Winds Golf Club. So she certainly took advantage of that home court advantage, so to say. But obviously, she's a great golfer, and winning back-to-back championships is a great feat for her. So those are kind of the two storylines that really stood out to me.
For sure. And we talked before you had on the air, and you said, hey, I was kind of bouncing around both the girls and boys. Are you kind of a camp on a hole type of guy when you're covering? Like, are you on 18, or are you kind of trying to move and follow golfers and things of that? What's your kind of outlook on that?
I really like to bounce around. You know, sometimes I get a cart and ride a cart around and find these golfers. But yesterday I just I just walked the courses. I didn't walk all 18 holes at both courses. I'm not that into shape, I guess. But I like to move around. I like to get as many golfers as I can and watch as many golfers. And for me personally, like I've gotten to build a lot of relationships with a lot of people around the state. So it's always fun to, you know, see different groups and see different the different people, the family, the friends that are following these people and reconnect with people. So I really like to move around whenever I cover golf.
Yeah, the Vern Lundquist of the 605. Were you shaking hands from the tree there yesterday at some point in time?
No, I was not.
I love that gif. Ryan Deal, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. Forgot to give you one of these.
Hello!
So
there we go. I was waiting for it.
Yeah, I know. I completely forgot about that, so I can't forget about that. But Ryan Deal here of 605 Sports on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and Bryn Rorick, like you mentioned, they're back-to-back champs there from the Cyclones of Clark Willow Lake. But can you imagine how intense it is? You're talking about a differential of one stroke between Hanson and Wall. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, one bad hole or one good hole, that's the difference in a championship for a team. That's pretty phenomenal. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's, you know, for us in the media, you know, that's fun whenever it comes down to something like that, you know, the last hole, you know, the anticipation, you kind of feel it, the buzz kind of amongst the people watching it. So it's certainly fun. But I know for some of the Hanson people, I saw one of the mothers, actually Lindsay Wilbur, you know, Coach Wilbur, Matt Wilbur's wife. They have a couple twin boys that were on the golf team. And I saw her towards the end of the round there yesterday, and you could tell that she was definitely nervous, you know, towards the end there and everything. But that's what it's all about. Whenever you get to that kind of stuff, you know, at the state tournament, whatever sport it is, it's always fun whenever it comes down to something like that.
Can you kind of talk about like the atmosphere at one of these kind of state golf? You know, I mentioned the Tukes this past Friday, just like seeing the state track. I mean, that's incredible, just how they fill that stadium up for state track. Can you kind of talk us through what the environment is at a golf? Is there a lot of people just hovering around the greens, just kind of walking? Can you just kind of speak on that?
Yeah, you know, like early in the day, you know, there's all the groups golfing, and each group has their, you know, their family and their friends kind of following them, you know, throughout their rounds and everything. But at the end of the day, the 18th green, whenever all the other golfers are done golfing, and then the last few groups are coming, you know, up 18 and everything. There's a lot more people around that 18th green. And I don't want to ballpark how many people were around that 18th green yesterday, but I mean, it was a solid number of people that were watching the 18th green in groups coming off of that. So in South Dakota, doesn't really matter what sport, you know, it feels like there's always a great support, you know, family, friends, and all that kind of stuff. So certainly a lot of people there, you know, coming up 18 towards the end of the rounds yesterday.
No question. Ryan Deal of 605 Sports joining us here. You can follow him on X at @RyanDeal_605. He joins us on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And Matt alluded to it already, the atmosphere at the state tournament in terms of high school track and field, and the photos that came out of that were phenomenal. Lots of folks were there from all across the state, whether that's Spearfish or Hot Springs, all the way down to Brandon. I'm sure some folks from Timberlake, the Sisson, everyone was there, kind of felt like, and the atmosphere was outstanding. The atmosphere was, they had a lot to watch in terms of the high school track and field. What do you do when it comes to high school track and field? Do you kind of stand by, you know, discus or shot put, or do you kind of walk around a little bit? What's your coverage like of that? That was this last weekend.
You know, it's similar to you guys asked me about golf. Similar with track and field. Obviously, with track and field, it's not a big, you know, golf. It's obviously, you know, a lot more real estate you got to cover. So track's a little bit easier, but similar with track. I really like to move around, bounce around. I take pictures, so I like to capture as many images as I can of these kids and their events. So as time has gone on, I'll be honest, I was not a big, you know, track guy in high school, as Jerry Seinfeld would say, you know, I choose not to run.
That's right.
But I had to throw in the Seinfeld reference in there.
Yeah. Oh, Duncan's still fired up about that, but you know,
yeah,
you choose not to run.
Yeah. But I really like to move around, and state track is just so fun. Cause again, like with, like I was saying with golf, I get to see a lot of people, reconnect, you know, with a lot of the relationships that I built through the years, across the whole state. So track is definitely an event I look forward to covering throughout the year, and it was certainly a fun one this last weekend.
Now, we talk a lot about multi-sport athletes there, Ryan. You know, what kind of stood out to you at the state track? Was there something that really stood out? You know, whether we had Dave Vilhauer in a couple about a month or two ago, or maybe even farther than that, and he talks about track. He likes the battle for like fifth or sixth place and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, because you're just giving everything you got to beat an individual next to you, whether you're racing or something like that, and one of the runs or something. So, what really stood out to you in the track and field side of things?
You know, when I was at state track, it seemed like every conversation I had centered around the Bennett County siblings, the brother Rush O'Neill, he's a sophomore, and then the two sisters Reagan and Payson, freshmen and an eighth grader, and they're just phenomenal. Obviously, the girls Payson and Reagan, you know, they were part of the state championship team during the basketball season, and they're just phenomenal athletes. They won the girls' team title with 85 points. Next closest was Coleman Egan with 45 and a half points. So I think that kind of goes to show you what those two girls, and they have a cousin, Harley Harris. They're just phenomenal, and we're just kind of getting started with those guys because, you know, again, they're so young. So that was really one thing that really stood out was the siblings from Bennett County.
Ryan Deal, 605 Sports, joining us. And I thought you had a really cool nugget on social media there, Ryan, is that's the first time that a team has won the state track and field title as well as the girls' basketball championship since Armour did it back in 1983. It wasn't even Trip Delmont Armour. It was just straight-up Armour back in the day. How do you come up with these little nuggets? I mean, I know you've got all sorts of connections all across the state and what have you. Those are some pretty cool numbers there, and kind of feels like Bennett County is they're here and they're here to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. And my coworkers and I on Friday night we were working, and I actually had one of my coworkers, John Acree, kind of dig that up. I said, because this is probably going to happen tomorrow with Bennett County, you know, officially winning the track and field title. So I said we should look and see when. The last time that's ever happened where girls won a basketball title and then turned around and won a track and field title in the spring. So we kind of thought it was going to take a little while to kind of do some, to dig it up and everything. But we kind of found it relatively quick, just looking through the yearbook on the activities website. So that was certainly a fun little nugget to look up and obviously just a great feat for the Warriors and everything accomplishing that.
We talked about it earlier this week, Ryan. Ella Bucklehide here closer to us at Northwestern won the Triple Crown, 800, 1600, and 3200. Did you get a chance to kind of take any of that in? And that's pretty special as well, a Triple Crown and winning three events like that.
Yeah, absolutely. My coworker, John Acree, again, he did that story. She was one of our athletes that we certainly kind of had circled and penciled that, you know, hey, we need to keep tabs on Ella because she's obviously accomplished a lot, you know, the last few years, track and field and cross country. And that's just a great feat. Winning three distance races at a state track and field meet, no matter what class it is. That's just an awesome accomplishment and hopefully really springboards her for, you know, just a great senior season and everything.
I kind of joked to Matt a little bit, Ryan. I said, that's getting a little bit close to Macy Hines territory, not quite. And I was saying, I'm pretty sure, if memory serves correctly, she won all of them. And I just looked it all up here, and she's the only athlete in South Dakota history to capture state titles in every non-hurdle event on the track, ranging from 100 meters to 3,200 meters, talking about Macy Hines. Do you think we'll ever see anything like that ever again? I mean, not to put any undue pressure on anybody, but do you think we'll see that again at some point in time, or is that a record that'll never be touched, like Cal Ripken's 85,000 straight games played or something like that?
Well, you know, I mean, they always say, you know, records are meant to be broken. So I'm sure there's at some point down the line, I don't know if there's any up and comers that I can think of off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's going to be an athlete at some point that'll certainly, you know, threaten that some of those marks and some of those records. But that's the thing about track and field. It's just fun to see how these athletes perform and progress throughout their high school careers, and certainly Macy was a fun one to follow, and then I'm sure there's going to be some other athletes coming up that are obviously going to be fun to follow as well.
So what's kind of up next for you? I know the spring high school season is kind of coming to a close here. You got softball. You're going to be doing some softball as well there, covering what they got going on.
Yep. We will be covering some state softball. Don't know exactly the plan where I'll be at tomorrow, but I got one of two choices, I guess. That's either Aberdeen or Sioux Falls. But I will be at one of them more than likely, covering some state softball, and then we're done with the high school sports for the year and everything. So another fun season, and kind of looking forward to kind of taking a deep breath, so to say, and kind of relaxing for a few months before we kick it off again in the fall.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, we're not quite putting the season to bed, but we're tucking it in right now. We're getting pretty close for sure. Ryan Deal, 605 Sports, joining us, Fox Sports Aberdeen. You can follow him on X at @RyanDeal_605. And any bold predictions for the state softball tournaments coming up here? I mean, SODEC 16 was very, very impressive in terms of the B. There was a couple of near upsets. I think it was the 14 and the 3 matchup. Redfield and Castlewood was really close. What was it, Matt? 18-14?
Yeah.
Castlewood just got past Redfield there, and Duel as the one seed. They only won by, the, I think, 3 runs.
Yeah.
5-2. So pretty competitive softball all across the landscape of Class B there.
Well, I hope it's going to be good, because if I'm going to be up there, I hope it's going to be some good watching and some stuff, some fun stuff to cover and everything. But, you know, Duel will be interesting. You know, anytime you come in as the one seed, how are you going to be able to kind of handle that and kind of the expectations that kind of come with that and everything. So it'll be fun to see it play out. And there's always going to be some storylines and some fun games to cover and everything.
All right. At @RyanDeal_605. Therefore, Ryan Deal there on The X. Appreciate you popping in here on these fair airwaves. Enjoy the state tournaments and enjoy the golf course here in the not-too-distant future a little bit, as well as some Legion baseball and amateur baseball. I know you've got your teeth sunk into that, too, this summer. So appreciate you doing this, Ryan, and we'll talk to you later on the road.
Absolutely. Thanks as always for having me, guys.
It's our pleasure, for sure. Ryan Deal, friend of the program, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5, and one of the hardest-working guys in the state in terms of media. And I think we talked about this with him last year. He was the South Dakota Writer of the Year, if memory serves correctly. Was that last year or in the latter stages of this last year we talked about that? So
yep.
One of the hardest-working guys for sure. And looking forward to the season kind of coming to a close here for sure, but we're still going to be rocking and rolling in the summertime with shows. No two ways about that.
Yeah, and he mentioned the softball and Duel, and it just had me thinking, you know, if they got that pitcher going, they're going to be right there. I think playing in that SODEC 16 game, you play in some of those closer games, I think that could maybe help you moving forward when you get to the state tournament. Yes, you want to beat a team easily if you can, but I think it just kind of shows the character of the whole thing. But, yeah, like you said, we're going to be busy this summer with shows, you know, talking with hopefully maybe some more high school athletes this summer, because they won't have school, so maybe we can get a couple of them in studio as we move forward this summer as well.
Yeah, players, coaches, the guy in row 7, I don't know. But we'll talk all sorts of South Dakota sports nuggets and notes here, and, you know, certainly some Brown County Speedway there as well, and just about anything under the sun. I mean, I don't think we've had no problem covering these months. You know, sometimes in broadcasting, you know, this is like the doldrums of the year. Broadcasters, it's like, okay, nothing to talk about. So who's better, Jordan or LeBron? It's like, yeah, we're not doing that here. No, we're keeping it local on these fair airwaves for sure. So
we won't have any Jordan LeBron debates this summer.
Yeah, if that's what you're looking for, tune to something else. All right, coming up next on the show, we'll wrap things up. We'll take a look at some of the action for today. Minnesota Twins, they're looking for 3 in a row against the Athletics, and we'll talk about some of the B coverage after this. Getting to wrapping up this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub on FSA. Our thanks to Ryan Deal for taking time out of his schedule and joining us and talking some high school sports notes. State B tournament wrapping up yesterday in the town that was Water. We talked about that already, but Hanson winning by just one stroke over second place Wall. Clark Willow Lake there in third. This was on the boys' side of things. Individually, you had Trevor Schultz of Wall, your medalist, a 1 over par, a 71 for his second round. He won collectively by 3 strokes over Gavin Colson, who won it all there last year from Sully Buttes. And on the girls' side of things, it was St. Mary's in first place. They fired a 69, a 501 for the two-day period. And Miller in second place, Coach Rogers' crew, nothing to sneeze at all. J.C. Pugh, a third-place finish, as she would finish, I believe it was 7 strokes back of first place Bryn Rorick. So, again, right there, a lot of great golf from the Cyclone and Rustler alike, and two of the top 3 right here in the region.
Yeah, it's funny. You go through these stats in Class B, it's a lot of Sully Buttes and a lot of Miller. for golf. I don't know exactly what they do, but every single year it seems like they're in the mix. Soli Buttes and Miller, kind of local squads around here. And mm-hmm. Coach Rogers, like we had her on. We'll probably talk to her later on down the line as well. She talks a lot about the mindset and the confidence on the course. And their kids showed that this week there at the state tournament there in Watertown.
No question. As for the Minnesota Twins, they took care of business there last night. I woke up at like 2:40 in the morning. I slept like garbage last night, but I checked my phone. How'd the Twins do last night? Of course, hey, that's what you get when you sign up for the daily text and what have you, the text alerts from yep. NVC. Sign up for those mobile alerts via NVC. Maybe you got a lousy night's sleep. Hey, how'd the team do when they're playing on the West Coast? Well, I got that this morning, probably around midnight, give or take, and they won last night 10-3. Over the non-Oakland Athletics, just the Athletics nowadays, and they'll go for a three-game winning streak over that squad tonight, 9:05 for your first pitch.
Byron Buxton, I'll tell you, when he's healthy and electric, I saw a clip yesterday. He tried to extend a single into a double. He slid safely. He had two RBIs. Twins really did a nice job in this game. Four runs in the sixth and the seventh, so eight of your 10 runs in 2 innings. They can win the series today if they can get a W tonight. Obviously, it's a four-game. But they can get 3 out of 4 possibly if they win tonight.
A's have lost 19 of their last 20 games.